gets colder. My eyes go thin as I get older. Piece in pieces, bloody and bruised. I feel so helpless and confused. 'Cause I hear screaming on the left, yelling on the right. I'm sitting in the middle trying to live my life.
Tried and true in tribulation. Love is lost and lonely. Check the news. And with these open arms, I wait for you. 'Cause I hear screaming on the left, yelling on the right. I'm sitting in the middle trying to live my life.
'Cause I can't stop the war. Shelter homeless, feed the poor. I can't walk on water.
Good afternoon. This is Evelyn Pringle. Welcome to Focus on the Facts. My guest today is David Schroeder, who was born into a practicing Luciferian family in Omaha, Nebraska. He is a satanic ritual abuse survivor and was tortured in the MKUltra program until the age of 10. David became involved with the key players in the Franklin Credit Union scandal in Omaha, Nebraska, because the players were his parents' friends. The scandal involved a network of pedophile rings in Nebraska and Washington, D.C., that traded young children to politicians and other wealthy people in the U.S. for sexual abuse, human trafficking, drug trafficking, and blackmail. David's father and brother were child abductors, and David believes them to be directly involved in high-profile cases such as the disappearance of children such as Jason Wetterling, Ricky Chaddick, and Johnny Gosch. David's brother was a photographer during the Franklin scandal, and he filmed child pornography and also the snuff films taken while children were murdered. Also appearing on the show today with David is Pat Goodwin, founder of Ivory Garden, an online survivor support group that has been in existence for 11 years. She hosts the Seattle Trauma and Disassociation Conference, and they are having their third conference in October, on October 7th. Information for the conference can be found at igdid.org. igdid.org. They're going to discuss the importance of exposing the pedophilia and human trafficking of children and give us some crucial statistics on the number of children involved in the U.S. and the people and government agencies and institutions that enable it to continue. The government-controlled mainstream media does not report on this issue, and most Americans have no idea that pedophilia and human trafficking are rampant in the U.S. and or about the amount of profit made off trafficking these children. This issue must be exposed, and these children must be saved. So welcome to the show, David and Pat.
Thank you. Pat, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I had watched your video earlier today on child trafficking and how rampant it is, and I was so impressed at what a good presentation that you did. But first,
thank you.
That
was actually all Pat.
That was
and so she's a great researcher, and she was the one who did a lot of the research for it, and we work really well together. Sometimes we're good friends, so of course I'm hard to deal with sometimes.
But, first of all, let's start out by telling the listeners a little bit about the conference that's coming up and what that conference involves.
The conference is, this is the third year. So we always call it the Trauma and Dissociation Conference. So this year, the 2016 Trauma and Dissociation Conference. And we have, let's see, this year is called Perspectives on Trauma-Informed Care, because trauma-informed care is like a big buzzword right now, and nobody really knows exactly what it is. And so I looked at it and I went, well, we've always done trauma-informed care. And so we have several speakers who are coming and talking just about different aspects of trauma and dissociation and trauma-informed care. So we have Dr. Colin Ross will be coming, and his daughter Dana Ross, who's a psychiatrist also, she'll be coming, and Stephen Frankel, he's a PhD and an attorney. David Kaloff will be coming and speaking. Laura Brown, Joan Golston, and so it's a real good, just an array of people talking on many things. We've got somebody talking on human trafficking. We've got somebody talking on sexual addiction. But it all ties back to trauma.
Right.
And how, and mainly survivors. How survivors deal with it, what kind of effect does human trafficking, and we have institutional abuse, all kinds of stuff, but how does it tie back to survivors and how we deal with it, what effects, because we've got a lot of people talking on neurology, so what are the neurological effects of trauma and abuse on children and survivors? So it's really a cool thing, and survivors go, clinicians go, doctors go, nurses, teachers. I mean, just everybody who's interested goes, and it's kind of a fun time also.
Yeah, you have people from all over the world coming to that conference, don't you?
Yes, and mostly it's in Seattle, so you would think that we get mostly people from Seattle. But no, we get mostly people from all over the United States, and then we get a few from internationally, like Germany. And several people come from Canada. We get a lot of people from, you know, Victoria, because it's spread up. And I think Dana Ross is from somewhere in Canada. So we've got quite a few coming from Canada. And then I operate an online support forum for people who have DID, which is multiple personality disorder, if you don't know what it is. And they all have DID. So they'll be coming. And I think we've had that going for about 10 years. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Great. Well, it sounds really interesting. I've seen that family members can also come to that conference.
Right. Family members. And you don't have to have, you know, anybody that has any kind of trauma or are interested in it. So that's like everybody, you know, teenagers can come if their parents say it's okay. So 13 and over, 14, 15. People who have been to Vietnam, anybody who has trauma. And then we have David Kinloff. He is like the expert in self-injury and self-harm. And he's going to do an open discussion on that where people can just come and ask questions. Which is really cool, because a lot of people have questions on self-injury and self-harm and suicidal ideation, so he can answer. So we have family members who might be interested in that.
Right, right. Well, yeah, I don't think that there's enough. Go ahead.
There's a lot of people.
I don't think there's enough resources out there for people, for survivors that have been harmed by this. I mean, we don't ever even hear about this issue, really, that much. Well, we sure don't hear about it in the mainstream media, but the survivors of this trauma that they were put through as children, I don't think there's enough resources out there to help these people get through this.
No, there's 48 million survivors of sexual abuse in the United States alone. So 48 million people are running around without resources.
Oh, my God. Go ahead.
If we could get funding, we have a really hard time getting funding because this is not something that people, you know, they kind of, you know, it's kind of controversial. We could help thousands, we could help hundreds of people get to the conference because they're at home on disability and they can't get here. So we try as best we can. We use every penny for the conference, and we just try to get people here and help them. We feed them at the conference. We do whatever we can for people who really can't afford to come, but it helps them so much, you know.
Oh, sure, sure. And, you know, in reading David's book and talking with David, I mean, he's worked so hard to overcome the trauma of his childhood. And, gosh, to think that there are 48 million survivors of sexual abuse, this is just so
just
outrageous.
In the United States.
Right, in the United States. So we've got things going on here. The survivors of this, that there are adults now, need help. And then we need to save these children that, you know, the, like I said, the mainstream media doesn't report on this issue. Once in a while, there's a headline out, you know, but it's out for a day. But it's never, like, on local media programs or anything. And so people have no idea why this continues and who's all involved and the amount of money that is made off of this. And like David talks about in his book, about when people get so rich that they can afford anything that, you know, they run out of things to buy. And so they're still searching for excitement and things. So they stoop to the lowest level and enter into this pedophilia and human trafficking and get their thrills by satanic abuse of children. And, you know, they have money to buy anything, but they get so much money that they don't have any pleasure in anything. So then they stoop down to this level. You know, and
right.
David and I have talked about this in past shows, the politicians and stuff involved in this, and that's another reason that we can't do anything about it. I'm sure that it is hard to get funding because they're not going to admit that they're the ones that are doing this to the children in this country. But,
well,
but
and what they do is they talk about programming and all this mysterious, you know, stuff, but all they do, and it could be anybody that's been sexually abused, right? All they do is scare the poor kid to death and make them feel like they're crap and it's their fault and all this stuff. And they put that as a belief into the child that comes out in adulthood. And these people, these survivors are going, well, I can't tell anybody. Nobody's going to believe me. So it's all what they learned as a kid. So they're all hiding. And, you know, they can't afford a therapist. So they run around going, well, I can't tell anybody because everybody will judge me and think I'm just a bad person, or I'd let this happen, or and it is. It's in the public eye that, oh, you got abused as a kid? Oh, that's really bad, you know, because they put it out there into the public to believe that. So society believes it and then judges the survivor as the bad guy, and the survivor's going, oh, I don't want to tell anybody because they don't know why. So they go on Facebook, they put a fake name, and they don't tell anybody, so that makes it a secret. And so then that silences all 48 million survivors who aren't working together. And if the survivors learned that they're not their fault, they're strong, they can do something about it, then they'd be like great gay rights people or ADA people and out there getting their rights, because they have rights. But they don't use their rights because they're afraid to go out there and be judged.
Well, you also have to realize that the issue for survivors is much different even than it was for gay rights. People who are fighting for gay rights don't have groups of people on the internet attacking them, attacking their credibility, calling their jobs, calling their families, befriending all of their friends on Facebook, and then talking dirt on them. The thing is that when a survivor comes forward, and Pat is also well known in the survivor community as Felicity. So if you hear me say Felicity, Felicity and Pat Goodwin are the same person. But Pat and I have had to deal with this for years. We have been terribly attacked because we really have been the only two survivors who have had the tenacity to stay in the attacks for years. And I mean, perfect example, one night I had a two-hour argument with Doug Mesner, who actually posted as Lucian Greaves, and a group of like five or six of his friends, and it was just me and them. And they were attacking it, and a lot of the stuff they were saying was just
Who is this person? And Doug Mesner, did you say?
What?
What was this person's name?
Doug Mesner. Doug Mesner. His name is Doug Masico. He's well known now as Lucian Greaves. He's the founder of the Satanic Temple. All of this BS that he's saying, this after-school Satan stuff that they're incorporating in schools, it's all fake. They're not in any schools. If you call the schools that they have listed, those people don't even know what you're talking about. And so, and they're committing crimes because they have a website that was built in 2016, which they're claiming is an ABC website. And it's not an ABC website. It's a fake website. It doesn't have any news on it. The only news that it has on it is about the Satanic Temple. And they just haven't gotten it through their head that a new law has passed in America that you can't say you're someone you're not online because it's a jailable offense. And so it's, you know, but they're running around trying to convince people that they're teaching Satanism in schools, and they're not.
Yeah, because I've been seeing these headlines that they're going into schools for after-school programs, peddling it as an alternative
to
religious groups.
Every single one of those news things are fake.
Really? Holy cow.
Felicity can actually tell you a lot more because she has been investigating it because Doug Mesner / Lucian Greaves / whatever name he gives himself because he changes his names like some people change underwear. He's full of it. He's full of BS, and he wants to convince everybody that they're in schools teaching Satanism. And Doug is one of the biggest trolls out there, him and his little Satanic Temple. They're going all over the internet attacking people. That's why when you get perfect example. Not that I'm recommending this book because I'm not. There's a book out there called 22 Faces, written by Judy Byington. It was written about a woman named Jenny who had DID, or you know, dissociative identity disorder, which used to be called multiple personality disorder. Right. If you go on that book and you look at the comments, there is hundreds of thousands of posts from Doug Mesner and his little group and Felicity and I arguing on Amazon. And they viciously attack people. And most people who have gone through extreme trauma and extreme abuse can't handle that kind of, they just can't handle it. It closes them down and makes them want to run away. It's Felicity and I are kind of the same. It doesn't make us run away. Sometimes it amuses us. Most of the time, it just ends up pissing us off. And
yeah.
I'm telling you right now, Pat is not someone you want to get angry with here. And really, neither am I. Because
it's pure bullying and threatening. I mean, they'll get down to threatening your life, bullying you. They'll go out, like, they try to take our life. Because I'll correct you. We're a nonprofit, non-profitable fundraising corporation. So I'm not the owner. I'm the president.
Wait.
Ivory Garden is. And so they've threatened our license. They've turned me in. They've had my electricity turned off. They've tried to sue me multiple times. And so it's threats that they try to carry out, but they can't because we don't do anything wrong. But the reason the whole thing about Satanism in schools, that's what these people do is they try to lure. They're trying to lure survivors into kind of like their web so they can, you know, bully them, scare them, you know, scare people into thinking that, I don't know, give himself a name, get his name out there.
The big thing that they're doing right now is they're setting up all of these secret groups on Facebook. And they're reaching out to people to get them to join. Within the first 10 minutes, before you can even join these secret groups, you have to email them all of your personal information, your address, your phone number, anything they ask. Then you send out that information. You don't even know what group you're joining. Then you get on to these groups, and they're doing this weird therapy thing. They're telling these people that they have to do this. They have to go into their mind and put all of their parts, because dissociative identity disorder, people who go through extreme trauma, they end up splitting their personality splits off into different parts. Right. And they're wanting these people to put all of their parts in the light to get rid of them. So they do this. Of course it doesn't work. I mean, if that worked, therapists would have been doing it 100 years ago. So then these people say, okay, well, I still have parts. So then they tell these survivors, these critically broken people who are so fragile, they tell them, those are bad parts. And the only way to get rid of those bad parts is to kill them. And so they're telling people who are already suicidal, who are already having a problem dealing with their past and their life, that in order to do the right thing, they should kill themselves. And that's what they're doing. And they're seeking out the most vulnerable. And the worst part about this, there are children involved. They are involving children in this and telling children, if you have a part that you can't get rid of, that's a bad part. You should kill yourself then. And they're doing this.
How are they recruiting children?
Because right now, as it stands, if you have some site online, unless you mark it as an adult site, anyone above the age of 13 can come on that site legally.
Really?
So they're seeking out vulnerable people. They're seeking out children, totally mind-controlling their brains, making them think that they're worthless and they need to kill themselves, and then they're encouraging them to kill themselves. And if they don't kill themselves, then you end up like Lori King, who ended up at someone named Amber Volitin's house. Amber Volitin online is well known as CritThink. Total Troll has attacked Felicity and I for years. She befriended Lori King. So Lori King and her became so-called friends, even though friends of Lori's have told me that it was a very volatile situation. Amber was physically abusive, let alone emotionally abusive, to Lori King. Mm-hmm. Amber, if you type in Amber Volitin, she's supposedly this famous lettuce lady that is a pioneer in lettuce growing. This woman
is a pioneer in what?
Pioneer who's supposedly a professor teaching at a school, at our university, and all of that, would drive from her house three states over, pick up Lori, drive three states back to bring Lori to her house, then drive three states back to drop Lori off, and then drive three states back to go home. In the year and a half she was friends with Lori, she did this at least four times. The very last time she did it, Lori died in her house. And now it's being investigated. But the only reason it's being investigated is because there are some people like us who didn't appreciate what happened and went to the police and demanded that it gets investigated.
Yeah, see, this stuff is I don't even know who you're talking about.
Wait a minute, Felicity. And let me say one thing. Lori King, who is also a founder of Ivory Garden, died the very last day of the Ivory Gardens second conference. The Sunday that the conference was ending, Lori King ended up dead. that very same day.
Well,
and Lori King is the second founder of Ivory Garden to end up dead in mysterious circumstances.
What did they say she died of?
Unknown causes.
Unknown causes. No autopsy, nothing.
The way that they get access to these people is that they do it through the Internet. So they put themselves in a position of power on, like, a Facebook board or our board. See, Lori was, she was administrator on our board. So this person came on our board and befriended her, like, in 5 minutes, got her phone number. They're really good at what they do. And so she accepted her friendship, and they became really close within a week. So they come on the forums, they put themselves in a position of power, and they get their personal information and start calling them. And so if there's very few people that won't fall for it. I mean, I don't fall for it because right away I say, why are you befriending me and nobody else? Why do you want my phone number? I don't give my phone number to people. I don't know.
Right.
But very few people can say no. They're afraid to say no.
Sure.
So they use this kind of influence on the Internet. They're getting access on the Internet, not in real life. They could just sit home at home and get on their Internet and start, you know, accessing anybody they want. And they know that children... and people who are abuse survivors are very vulnerable to this, you know, they don't want to say no. They can't say no. Some of them aren't in a position to say no. They want attention. They want somebody to love them. So right away they're love bombing them, you know, I love you. And they trust them, you know, like Lori would tell me, I trust her completely. I trust my life in her hands. And I'm going, why? You don't even know her.
Right.
So it's the same way as they access children right out of their house.
Right. Well, I'm so glad you guys talked about this because I'll tell you, those headlines about them Satan classes in schools, I mean, that really got to me, and it was like, how are these schools allowing this? But
no,
it's
they're
not happening
allowing
at all.
It's all fake.
It's all fake. You have to realize that Shane Bugbee, who was... Doug Messner's best friend, who helped him set up the Satanic Temple, has come out and said that Doug is working hand in hand with the CIA. So this is being done, and as far as them, these forums and these private Facebook groups that they're going on, they're not going after just people with DID. They're going after people with any kind of trauma.
Okay.
Any trauma. You don't have to be satanically ritually abused to get invited to these groups and get harassed. And they get all their personal information, so these people are terrified, because when you make these people upset, they contact your employer and try and get you fired. They get a hold of your family members and try and isolate you from family members. They're doing this. And again, they're doing it to children as well.
Right.
And so this whole, they're going in and teaching Satanism in school. And if you go to the Satanic Temple website, look at the pictures. They're all sex. What school is going to let those people anywhere near any children?
Well, that wasn't what I was seeing. I was seeing they were going to have after-school programs, not necessarily in the schools, after-school programs saying that they're countering, you know, the other religious groups that have after-school programs for kids. They weren't talking about they weren't talking about teaching it in the schools. They were talking about after-school programs. What's the name of it? I don't know.
If you read, Evelyn, if you read what they say, and you read the website and you go to the website, they have a list of schools. And so when you investigate it, they're trying to lead people to believe that these schools have approved them coming into the school. That's why it's called an after-school program. They're not doing it in churches. They're not doing it in community centers. They're saying that they're doing it in schools.
Uh-huh.
And yet if you call their list of schools, most of the people on that list won't have a clue what you're talking about. And we know this because we did it.
Right. Did you confront them on that online, you and Pat?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did they say? Why are they making that up?
Because
when you confront them and told them to call the schools and they don't know nothing about them.
Because Doug Mesner is doing this for a reason. He wants his name out there. He's never been able to get his name out. But if you look at the arguments that he's doing already on the videos, especially with mm-hmm. me, he immediately attacked me and said, well, if you see my name in there, immediately they attacked me with, well, you are part of the satanic panic. And so I'm going, wait a minute. So I wrote on there, wait a minute, what does the Satanic Panic and the False Memory Syndrome Foundation have anything to do with after-school programs? It doesn't.
Right.
So you all are still on the False Memory Syndrome Foundation thing. You guys are still talking about how satanic ritual abuse doesn't exist. You're still talking about how, they did write in one, that therapists should be sued because they're implanting false memories, and so I wrote back and said, "What does that have to do with after-school programming? I mean, after-school programming,
right.
Nothing.
Right.
It has nothing to do with it. But that's why you're doing it.
They try to deflect it.
He wants a name for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can influence everybody to believe that he's this great guy, they've let him into the school. You can trust him now. See." Because nobody was trusting Doug Mesner anymore because he makes no sense. He's supposedly an atheist. He was supposedly a journalist who worked for the False Memory Syndrome Foundation. So at one time he had credibility. Well, we took that credibility away, so nobody trusts him anymore. So now he's trying to get his name out there as somebody that people can trust because he wants survivors.
Actually, I have to disagree with you, Pat. We did not take his credibility away. When he whipped out his penis at the gravesite of the late Westboro minister's mother and it got all over national news, that's when his credibility took a severe downcline.
Now,
and
again,
so someone who can publicly expose themselves in front of the media in public, and you're going to allow that guy and his group to have access to your children. Really?
Tell us, what exactly did he do?
He did, so you can Google, if you Google Lucian Greaves, Westboro minister's mother's grave, you'll come up with the video. He did this.
Just tell us what he did.
Weird thing.
He
did this satanic ritual, which was not satanic. It was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen. And the whole thing is that he was claiming that he was making the minister's late mother gay in the afterlife. And really, if he pulled out his privates in front of me, it would probably make me straight. So he probably has a point, you know?
This is bizarre. I'm going to have to look that up because I don't understand this at all. Wow.
Doug Mesner, Lucian Greaves, is a disaster.
And then he was, what was it, just 6 months ago when the ISSTD, the International Society for Trauma and Dissociation, for the study of trauma and dissociation, they had a conference like 5 or 6 months ago, and he went with all his little people, and they did this little performance in front of the conference where he put three girls in front of him and poured ashes on their head from supposedly this dead kid. And, I mean, this was just a few months ago because he doesn't like the ISSTD. It's an association, a nonprofit corporation, that studies dissociative identity disorder, right? So that has nothing to do with after-school programs. And he did this whole thing because he doesn't like the ISSPD because they study dissociative identity disorder. So all of his stuff is crazy. It makes no sense.
And this isn't the first time. This isn't the first time that he's made women get down on their hands and knees and dump stuff on their heads. First time it was milk. Then there was such, he's always dumping stuff, and he's like a Charlie Manson. I mean, pretty soon we're going to see his women followers walking hallways, crawling around on their hands and feet, just like we saw with Charlie Manson when they went to court. He's always dumping stuff on their heads.
What you're describing reminds me of what I was watching a short time ago of the Satanists going to protesting for abortion, and they had girls and they were doing pouring stuff on them and just sick.
And
so they're doing this in front of your conference?
Oh, they won't show up at the conference. They've never really shown up at the conference. And with Colin Ross and Lynn Crook and Pat and me and all of the other ones, the thing that's a remarkable, just to talk a little bit about the conference, the part that's remarkable about the Ivory Garden, Seattle Trauma and Dissociation Conference, is that it dispels all of these ideas that trauma victims are hiding in their closets, clinging to their teddy bears. Pat, at the very first conference, it was the first conference of its kind. The reason why is because it brought clinicians, survivors, and survivor advocates all together in the same room for a weekend for conference. And the remarkable thing about it is you couldn't tell who was a survivor, who was a clinician, and who was a survivor advocate. Because survivors are way stronger than even they give themselves credit for. And that's what my experience with the conference, the Seattle Trauma and Dissociation Conference. This conference is good even if you are a veteran and having issues with PTSD. Because this entire conference, first of all, it has no agenda. There is no pushing this whole satanic ritual abuse or anything else. All it is are a bunch of clinicians, such as Colin Ross, who are getting together and talking about trauma, what it is, what it does, and how to overcome it. And that's why they'll attack Pat, they'll attack Colin Ross, they'll attack me, but they have yet to attack the Seattle Trauma and Dissociation Conference because there's nothing to attack.
Yeah,
obviously.
I actually got threats that that I would be in trouble, I guess, if I published any of the filming of the workshops to the public.
Really?
So they don't want what goes on in our conference out to the public because I'm a special ed teacher by trade. And so I didn't know how to, the first one, I didn't know how to set up a conference. And I've never been to a conference of that sort. And so because I've been to so many conferences for teaching, I set it up as I knew how. And so every workshop, every plenary is set up educational. And we offer CEUs to all the clinicians because they're all educational and they're all at either master or PhD level. And so it's very innocent because it's all educational. The speakers are amazing. And everybody went and learned something. You know, they took notes. It's 3 days of, long
intensive
conferences, long presentations, but you learn so much.
The coolest part about this conference is that Pat just changed the venue. The venue for the last two conferences were at a hotel that was huge. And people were having a hard time getting in contact with each other. And now she moved the venue to the Radisson, really super nice hotel. The staff are super cool. And the best thing about it is that Pat was told that her conference is taking over the entire hotel this year. And
really?
So it will be nothing but people who are going to this conference in this hotel. So it will be much easier to get a hold of people, to talk to people. The speakers love talking with people, you know, so it gives you a lot more interaction with not only the speakers this year, but also all of the other attendees. And Pat has done an amazing job, and I can attest she does it all by herself. She has a little help from a few of her friends, but even I don't give her much help. She this is her baby. She set it up, and she works 24/7. In fact, getting her away from her computer and her work is virtually impossible. And so this conference this year will be the most amazing conference that she's had to date, and this is the third one. And again, for people who would like to know a little bit more about who's speaking, a little bit more about the venue, or more importantly, want to sign up, the website again is igdid.org. And you can find any information you want. And Pat is also very open. She spends hours answering emails. And so if anybody has a question or a problem, her contact information is right on that website. You can contact her, and she always answers. And so it's going to be an amazing conference this year.
It sounds great. Yeah.
Doug and his little group, there's no way they're going to show up. We are actually going to the police before, because both Pat and I have had to deal with death threats from these people. And the hotel is totally aware of what's going on, and there will be security at this conference. And so if anybody feels uncomfortable, if anybody, something happens and it makes someone uncomfortable or they don't like what happened, all you have to do is seek one of us out, and we will deal with it immediately. This is a safe conference. It's going
to
be a wonderful
time. For people
time.
To know.
And
that's really
if you are a survivor of trauma of any sort, this is a good conference. It will explain to you about trauma. It will explain to you what trauma does to your brain. It will explain to you what it does to your personality. And more importantly, it gives you avenues on how to deal with this. It's not trauma is so terrible. Felicity has set up this conference so that people are not only talking about trauma, but they are offering solutions on how to overcome the trauma that people have dealt with.
And well, so it gives teachers, educators, police officers, anybody that might be working with people with trauma, it gives them ways to identify if children have trauma, you know, because sometimes, like when I was a teenager, I was pretty, you know, strong. I was like, nobody can help me, get away from me. And it gives people a chance to deal with teens and identify that the way they're acting might be because of trauma in the past. You know, instead of just going, oh, they're a brat, you know, get them out of here.
What's
frustrating for me with survivors, and I get frustrated with survivors. I've been pretty open about survivors and my frustration. And I've done a lot of thinking about it, and I think that the problem, that the biggest issue that I have with survivors, you all were amazingly strong. You made it through terrible abuse as children. And so facing that abuse as an adult shouldn't be more terrifying than the trauma itself, the actual trauma itself. And survivors want to discredit themselves. They want to tell, you know, they tell themselves, oh, I'm weak. I'm so afraid. I'm just so weak. And yet all of them were strong enough to make it through horrific abuse as children. And nothing, now we're adults. We have the capacity to make choices. We all have the power over our lives as adults. And so that's what is so cool about this conference, in my opinion, is that instead of separating survivors and isolating survivors in their own little group, it encourages survivors to come out and be in the world. And it gives them a sense of true personal power because they realize they're not alone. And survivors are way, way stronger than they have ever given themselves credit for.
Oh, I believe that.
There are a lot of children who went through this who never made it. And there are a lot of adults who went through this as children who didn't make it as adults. Right. If you have gone through this severe trauma and you are still breathing and still living and still have a life, that is testament to your strength. It is. You're not different. You're not broken. You're stronger. And personally, me, knowing what I know about DID and complex PTSD, those tools, even though people have said, oh, it doesn't exist, or it makes survivors broken, or anything like that, what I have found in my years at this and having to deal with survivors, DID ends up giving the person who has DID all kinds of modes of operation that most people don't have. They're more adaptable. They think quicker on their feet because we had to as children. Pat is a perfect example. She's one of the most amazing, most intelligent people I've ever met. Can be about as irritating as carrying a bag of rocks sometimes, but that's just me because I'm an intolerable idiot sometimes. But for the most part, Pat is amazing. And what this conference, which is basically Pat's gift to survivors, is amazing because it supports survivors and it tells them that they're strong. And they, you know, just because you have PTSD, just because you have DID, does not mean you're broken. What ends up happening, what causes all of that, is a natural and normal response of the brain to extreme trauma. Survivors need to come to the conclusion that they're not the ones who are flawed. What happened to them is what was flawed.
Right.
And survivors
are
remarkable.
We're running out of time here.
They are remarkable.
Great. We're running out of time here. Do you think we only got probably about 6 more minutes? Do you think we could talk about the child trafficking and pedophilia and stuff in the U.S.? I mean, because I know people get so mad at me. You know what? I'm going to write a book on this Worldwide Pedophile Network. But people get so mad at me because I post this kind of information constantly on my Facebook because it needs to be exposed. But because people don't read about it in mainstream media and stuff, they think it isn't happening. But it is happening just as badly as ever. So could we get some statistics in there about, well, start out with how much money is being made off this.
Evelyn, what you're experiencing with pedophilia is normal. People do not want to even think about it. They don't want to deal with it. Look at what's happened with the Catholic Church and how little has been done by society as a whole. Yes, the Church has lost lawsuits. Big
$4 billion in the United States.
When you have George Pell, third in charge of the Vatican, who is facing his own allegations of raping boys, getting on worldwide television and being interviewed by the Royal Commission in Australia. And his whole argument was, yeah, I knew children were being raped, but it was no big deal to me. So why did I feel like I needed to get involved?
Yeah, but
and
now he's
this is a high up guy in the church. And people were just like, instead of causing outrage and people getting upset, people just looked at it. We are such a 5-second society anymore. You know, we want to be entertained, and if it's not entertaining, we just flip the station. And if that means we don't want to watch and we don't want to know about children being abused, we'll just think about something else. And so that's why you have the backlash that you have. because I am one of your friends on Facebook, and I do see what you post. And Evelyn, you're a power to be dealt with.
Well, and I'm going to keep
not playing. You don't pull any punches. You're letting it all out.
Well, yes.
And
it needs to be out.
My theory and the reason for having the conference mainly is there's 48 million survivors out there.
In America.
Most of them have had child trafficking. I can tell you that because I run the board, which has thousands of people come through in the last 10 years. Almost all of them, including me, have had child trafficking. Okay, so if we can bring these survivors out, not to tell their stories, but to fight it, that's 48 million people fighting what they went through. Because you have 48 million people on your Facebook agreeing with you, but they're not. They're hiding. They're scared of people like Doug Mesner. They're not coming forward. All they have to say is, well, like on Lady Gaga, all they have to do is stand up and put something on their arm. You know, I mean, they just have to stand up and say I was
okay. If there's 48 million survivors in the United States right now, well, then, and we're looking at
right.
how many children are still being trafficked today. This is insane.
Right. The survivors know they are. They know how they're getting trafficked. They know how they're getting them, but they're scared and they're staying hidden in their little places. And if 48 million survivors came out and stood together and said, "We're going to help you stop this," that's the answer.
Right.
They're the only ones who know how this works.
Right.
And there's two, right. me and David.
Right.
You know, on the whole internet, in the whole world, and a few others right. scattered around. But we're the ones that can say, I can tell you exactly how it happens, when it happens, where it happens, and everything about it, and so can most other survivors. So that's why
right.
we're being silenced.
Right, exactly.
Because we're the ones who can stop it, because we know what happened.
Exactly.
So
how much
like
money are they making off this how much money are they making off of this trafficking?
Oh God, millions.
Of children. Billions.
Well, I told you one time, Evelyn, that you know, the economics of how much money you can make abducting a child. You abduct a child, costs you nothing. Beat and rape that kid for 3 days. Within 3 days they get the Stockholm syndrome. You can stick them on the streets and sell them for sex. 19 people apiece, paying $200-$300 sometimes, every day. Then when they're no longer, desirable, you kill them and you film them in a snuff film. Years ago, those went for $50,000-$60,000.
Yeah.
Then you cut them up, you put their organs on. God only knows how much money you make from their organ sales, and then you just go on to the next kid. We're talking trillions of dollars.
And it's not even you can go as low as one parent. One parent can feed their whole family and become rich with two kids. Because, I mean, human trafficking goes all the way down to selling your kid for the rent. You know, putting your kid out to get a new car. I mean, look at just one parent, how much they can make off a couple kids of their own. And that's human trafficking. It's all human trafficking. So... You know, I mean, it happens all the time, and people just turn a blind eye, and that's our culture that's done that. Oh, it's okay. And then the kids grow up, and they go, oh, it's okay to prostitute myself, because he's going to give me a new car. You know, I mean, it's just how the people have come to think. The human trafficking goes from parents to the neighbor two doors down all the way up to organized. It's all human trafficking.
So they're making money off of
start imagining that, you come up with billions.
Prostituting them out, and then using them for sacrifices, and then using their organs, selling their organs.
Right.
It's
our culture is allowing it.
Yeah.
And then we have survivors who are going, well, it was okay because, you know, my dad did it. Or it was okay because it wasn't that bad. Or it was only to pay the rent. We had to pay the rent. That's all human trafficking.
Right.
And next thing you know, Dad's selling, you know, the kids to some human trafficker for a couple thousand dollars.
Right.
And have some more.
How many kids go missing in this country a day, do you know?
Oh, I have the figures, but it's like in the United
over
States,
2000,
I think,
right?
Many years ago, it was like 2,500 a day missing.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Missing and exploited children say that one child is disappearing in America every 27 seconds.
Yeah, every 27
seconds. That's 800,000 kids a year. CPS
and nobody listening has ever heard
they have
this.
Lost, they have lost tens of thousands of children, having absolutely no idea where they went. So I
who
guess
they
this
have
Christian
lost.
Rapture only happened
my listeners,
with
they
kids,
have.
And it's already happened because they're disappearing, and it's an ongoing thing.
Well,
now, this isn't counting the throwaway kids, the runaways, the kids that just end up on the street, the homeless kids. There's no tracking any of that. So there is no way anyone can come up with specific, detailed numbers of how many kids are missing. But
you know, the privately owned juvenile facilities, those are just human traffic centers.
Human traffic centers.
You know, wait a minute, my music's going to start playing and then we're going to have to quit, but I want to keep going with this. These private facilities, tell about that again, these institutions that are pulling this off.
Well, it's how they're milking the system. They get $3,000 a kid, just take a kid, and then they get paid to have the facility. Then they get the kids, those are the high-needs kids, right? So they get paid like $3,000 a kid just to take the kid in. Then they turn around and they sell the kid, or they have people come in and rape them or whatever, more money, and then they pay, you know, they have to pay taxes to the state, more money to the state and county taxes. So that's something you could research on how that works and how much money they're taking in.
They're finding these kids online. Perfect example, the O'Donnell twins from Michigan.
Right.
Went online, 15 years old, wrote on Snapchat that they had smoked pot for the first time ever in their life. Social services ended up at their door less than 45 minutes later. Incarcerated the twins. Now they're being sent to Boys Town Research Facility in Omaha, Nebraska. That's how it's happening.
Right. Well, thank both of
thank
you
Evelyn.
For coming
thank
on.
Thank you so much.
And I
thank
look
you.
Forward to your conference. Thank you both. Okay. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hope you learned some things. I sure did. See you next week. Bye. I can't save your sons and daughters. Well, I can't change the world.